Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. Super pumped for today. I'm here with Herb Pogliano. Herb is a certified scaling up coach. He's got 23 years as the CEO practitioner of scaling up methods. He has a podcast on our channel, and the last episode was unbelievable. He talked to Mike Wolf from Split Rock Group, a client of his, and Mike told us all about how Herb helped him scale up his business and what the scaling up program did for his business. It was unreal. Go back and check that one out. And I'm really, really excited to talk to Herb today about his expertise in the topic for today, which is the exit strategy and how important that is for a business. And Herb is going to brilliantly lay that out for us. Before we get started, though, I would love to thank our sponsors, Spreaker and iHeartRadio, because without you, this could not be possible. Hello, Herb. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, and thank you, Lisa, for having me on. I'm excited to talk to our collective audiences and share some of the experience in the journey that I've had with exit planning.
You know, this is such an important topic, and not a lot of people think about the big picture and what that looks like. I'm so excited to get into it today.
Yeah, thank you. I am as well. Where do we begin?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. Why don't what about this? What is the biggest mistake that you see business owners make when it comes to preparing for their exit? Do you want to start there?
Yeah, wonderful question. I think the first thing, we wait too long to start planning. We always think that we're head down in our business and we're working very hard. I'll get to exiting or exit planning sometime in the future. I don't want to sell now anyway. And what happens, and this was amazing for me, Lisa, 50% of businesses that exit for reasons that are not planned. Death, disability, divorce, distress, or disagreements with partners or family. 50%. We also have surveys where 70 to 80% of the deals that go to market, only 20 to 30% ever get done. Owners get cold feet. They're not really sure what they're going to do after, so they hesitate. They don't really have a plan. They may have unrealistic expectations about the valuation of the firm. They find out when they do go to exit that they had a valuation, and then have an offer, a letter of intent, and that value is not actually what they get at the end because they have buyer discounts and changes in the deal as you get closer. Then you pay taxes and then you pay broker advisory fees. And next thing you know, the number you really thought you were getting was not the number you're getting. And you say, hold on, I'm not going to go through with it. So
Wow.
there's a lot of re oh, one final thing too, which was really amazing. 75% of the owners that did exit 12 months later, when interviewed, were not happy with their exit. And you would have thought number one reason why was purely money. It was not. They didn't have a good enough personal plan for when they would be exited, that their lives did not have the same purpose and meaning that they got when they were running their company. So, whole bunch of things we have to unpack here, but that's kind of start now, don't wait.
Okay, so just to back up a little bit so I can connect our listeners to it as well. For the newest entrepreneur, an exit strategy is a game plan for leaving your business. Is that what it is? Well, how would you define exit strategy?
Yeah, so I think most people think of exit planning as a future event. What I think is exit planning is current business strategy. I don't want you to think of exit leaving. I want you to think of exit readiness for whenever that moment may be, next quarter or 10 years from now. But if your business is in a constant state of exit readiness because you've been working through the methods to make it more prepared each and every quarter, that whenever that time comes, you'll be ready. And it will be a happy moment, which is what you want for every owner in their company.
That makes sense. And you bring up a really, really good point. I think it kind of ties into retirement too. When people stop doing the thing that they've been doing for so many years, everyone, they would feel lost. And then it's like, how do you fill that void? How do you find a new purpose? Those things are so important. So what are like some of the things that you start planning for? Like I'm a new entrepreneur. So what would you tell me to do? What how should I start?
I think the big thing is you have to do a self-assessment about what are the things that you're centered around that give you purpose and energy and enjoyment. Some people, it may be around their family. Some people may be around charitable work. Some people, it may be around their faith. Other people, it may be around a hobby. But if you don't identify what you're really centered in, then it's really hard to get a good personal plan. Just some other things to think about. One third of the people that exit end up going on to do charitable work. About 40% of them end up and start opening another company, if you can believe it, which is not unusual
Crazy.
because I did. And then the third one is, about 40% go on and just retire, travel, friends, golf, but nothing of a real formal nature. But those are the three: charitable, open another company, or do the friends, travel, golf type of thing.
You know what, as you're speaking, I want to ask you, what was your exit strategy planning like, or where did your passion for this topic come in, and what is driving you to help business owners and entrepreneurs develop one? Can you tell us your story in that
Yeah.
aspect?
Knowing what I know now, I think my exit could have been so much better because we were using scaling up and we were very focused on building the value of the business. I think that part of the exit went great. What I didn't figure in was my personal plan or personal financial plan. What do I mean by that? Personal plan. I was part of a family enterprise. So we had multiple companies, multiple family members, mom, dad, brothers, wife, spouses, children. But we didn't have a family advisor. So as you're looking at exiting a family business, the biggest mistake you make is not including all of the family members in part of the discovery conversation of what an ideal exit for the family looks like. And managing those dynamics as you're going through who's going to get the stock, who's going to get what percent of a sale, do things go into a trust? Do I give it to them early? Do I give it to them later? What do I not give anybody? Who's mad at the other one for getting it? And those can be pretty prickly topics. And without the right type of advisor, unfortunately, the majority of us don't do so great with that. And then we end up hurting our family. The second one was the personal financial. Do you know your wealth goal? If you could not work tomorrow, how much assets do you and your family need to perpetuate the lifestyle you have right now? And Lisa, you know what the biggest mystery is? We're so focused building our companies for so many years. 80% of a great company's value and your net worth is tied up in your company. And if we don't help you optimize that exit, But remember the five things that you don't plan on: death, divorce, disability, distress, disagreement. If one of those happens at the wrong time, and I look at your personal net worth, and I'll give you an example. If you wanted to live on $400,000 a year, that's a lot of money, right?
That's a lot. Yeah.
You'd need a net worth personally of $10 million right now.
Okay. How does
Now,
that
if
math
I,
work?
it's 4%, simple
Oh,
math.
okay. Okay.
400,000 divided by 4% is 10 million.
Okay.
And if I said to you, let's take a look at your personal balance sheet, and you said, all right, IRA, 401k, cash in the bank, whatever, that's 2 million.
Okay.
Congratulations, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you have a wealth gap of over $8 million.
Okay.
Because we need to be at 10 million for you to sustain in perpetuity forever a $400,000 a year lifestyle and inflation factored in.
Right.
So most owners, when they start looking at that math, saying, well, I'm looking at the value of my company right now. I'm all in, but the value of my company is only 3 million. So if I
Right.
take my 2 million, the business later on, 3 million, and by the way, 3 million minus what? Taxes, fees, paying off any debt of the business. So am I really going to get 3 million?
Right.
But let's say you do. You still have a gap of 5 million in order to be at 10 million. And I got to tell you, that is a wake-up call for you and me and all owners out there that don't know the math.
Yes.
So what we try and do is holistically connect for the owner your business value, your personal plan for happiness and purpose, along with your personal financial plan, and do they sync up? Because for most people, they don't know. And they don't sync up. And that's the problem.
Wow. So I just full disclosure, when you were talking about the family business and the exiting and all those dynamics, my nervous system was actually reacting to that. I can only imagine how incredibly stressful that would be and like how real that is for so many people. How brilliant would it have been to have someone kind of managing that, right?
I wish we did. Again, I think the exit would have been even that much more sweet for everyone. But you know what? The role I try and play is like that of a quarterback. I'm not a personal financial planner. I'm not a personal family advisor, but we identify the right people with that expertise and we bring them to the table as we're putting your whole value acceleration plan together to grow the value of your business, your personal net worth, and your personal plan. And that takes time, but when you see it all come together, you'll never be happier in what you're doing.
So tell us what that process is like. You come in, you're helping someone build an exit strategy. What are steps one, two, and three? What are the first three things you would do with your client?
First thing we need to do is, what is the current value of the business? What does it even look like? Good, bad, or ugly? What is it? We then do what we call business attractiveness assessment. If I was a buyer on the outside looking in, what would I value your business and look at? For example, is it overly owner independent? Do you have high customer concentration? Do you have your IP all patented? Do you have good standard operating procedures? Do you have low turnover and high tenure? And do you have an established leadership team? The buyer looking in is going to be looking at all that. But then we have another side. Lisa, I ask you, how ready is your business to transfer? Are there any lawsuits? Have you had any audited financial statements or a compilation or a review? Are your insurance policies all current? Are your contracts with your clients current? And do you have recurring revenue built into the contracts? And so
Okay.
we do an outside attractiveness assessment. We do an internal readiness assessment for the company and for Lisa. Is Lisa personally ready to exit? We
Right.
look at those scores together. We look at your valuation, and then we come up with three very important numbers for you. Number one, I already mentioned your wealth gap. What would you need at the right time to exit, and where are you at current state? Number two is your profit gap for your company.
Right.
Let's say your company does 10 million in revenue. You're making a million bottom line EBITDA, which is 10% of sales. And we find out that best in class in your industry makes 20% EBITDA per year on that same 10 million. So you're
Okay.
making a million a year, they're making 2 million a year. Your profit gap is $1 million, 2 million minus 1 million. So you're leaving 1 million on the table every year. We don't address it. And then the
Interesting.
final thing we do is the value gap. So we know the profit gap. The value gap is, you know how companies sell for multiples? A multiple
Yes.
of three, a multiple of
Yeah.
eight. So let's say that a company, the low end, sold for a multiple of three, and the high end sold for a multiple of five. So
Right.
you're going to get a multiple of three because you're highly owner dependent. You have a high customer concentration. You don't have a built-out leadership team. You don't have a lot of recurring revenue stream. So with a $1 million bottom line times a multiple of three, that's a $3 million value. For that company that's best in class with $2 million EBITDA with a multiple of five, because they're best in class, they're going to get $10 million on the exit. You're going to get $3 million. You have a $7 million value gap if you sell today.
Wow, okay.
And most people don't want to leave that much money on the table. They just
No.
never knew the gap.
I was just going to ask you what your experience is like coming in with new clients and customers. Do they have all that information when you're
No.
asking them these questions? Man, that must sure get the wheels turning. So, what's your experience like with that?
My experience is that they're so focused on the day-to-day of their company's profitability. They're not always looking at industry best practice. They don't know what the industry best practice operating profit would be. They have no idea what the current private capital equity market gives multiples, 3 to 8, 4 to 10. A lot of them may hear talk around the country club that Joe sold for 6 times, this one sold for 12 times, but that's simply talk. So until you go into the market and really find the valuations and compared for your company and your size, that's important, you're not going to know. And so that's part one. That's what we need to do. 70% of the owners that go through that process, not 100, 70% want to do some about it once they know.
Well, I like that you're getting the wheels turning because I wanted to just rest, make our viewers and listeners rest assured that not everybody thinks of this stuff. So now that you're putting it in their mind, now they can start thinking about that stuff and planning for it. So amazing, amazing.
So the next step is once they decide whether or not they want to do something, we need to put an action plan in place.
What does that look like?
We have two action plans. One action plan for the personal and personal financial. We identify the top up to five priorities that we need to do. Maybe Lisa, when I did your personal readiness, you didn't have a financial planner. You didn't have a will. You didn't create a living trust. You don't
Mm.
have current buy sell agreements with you and your partner. So we're going to identify what are the first things we need to do to get this bus moving.
Got it.
Company side, we look at the top five things. Maybe you don't have somebody managing marketing. Maybe you don't have standardized operating procedures. Maybe your HR department has no job scorecards or set job descriptions for the people that even work for you. So
Right.
we're going to start identifying the areas, the low-lying fruit that we should start working on first and build from there.
That's beautiful. It's like someone coming in from the outside, looking at all aspects of your business and filling in those gaps. That's what it sounds like to me. How rewarding is that?
It is fun. It's challenging, as you can imagine, because we're working with very smart people that are well-intentioned, but it's
Right.
change. You know, they're not used to talking about certain issues, or maybe they didn't have the right advisor, and so the advice they were getting was either nothing or maybe not complete. So
Right.
identifying where to go and then helping them build the advisory team where they need help is a really important part, but it's change. And so,
Yeah.
if the value gap is not big enough, why would you want to go through it? But we know for many owners, these events are life-changing or life-defining, and that's why we think it's important to do it. There's a big trend today for this generational transfer. There's a lot of family business succession going on from father to son to daughter.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, it's very important that you get this stuff right. And if you're not bringing in the family advisor, the personal plan, imagine selling your company to your son. And you don't get top value, by the way, typically when you sell to a family member. You typically get a lower value
Why?
because you, number one, you wouldn't want to charge your son or daughter top market price. Number
That's fair.
two, they don't have the funding to pay it.
Right.
And you would maybe have to take back a seller note, you, the seller, finance it. And if that person is not prepared or ready to be in that role, you're taking a big risk.
Huge.
Yeah, because you won't get paid on that earnout or that seller note if they're not competent. So there's a whole bunch of ways we talk to owners. Here's another gap that I see, Lisa. Owners don't know all their exit options. And there's a couple of big ones. Number one, we could do a family generational transfer. We could do a partner buyout. We can do a management buyout. And there's some really good tax advantages for some companies to do an ESOP. So that's a buy from the inside.
Okay.
From the outside, we have third parties, strategic buyer, somebody whose niche company in your industry, they normally would pay the highest. We have financial buyers like private equity. We also have recapitalization, where you want to take some money off the table for either debt relief or funding for equity and growth. And we also have hybrids. We have people that sell a minority interest to a private equity, take money off the table, and then stay and get a second bite of the apple later with the private equity firm. And now they're mitigating the value of their equity over time. So, but most owners don't know the range of options. And so they stick to one or two, but that may not be the best thing for them.
Right.
And so helping them organize the thinking, looking at the tax planning part, the valuation part, their personal net worth, the family issues, all of it has to be coordinated to have the ideal exit whenever that would be.
How fun would it be for you to come into a business where the owner is completely 100% coachable and still just open to learning and like taking in all of your expertise? That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be. Thank you. And it's
Oh.
why we do what we do, right? Because that's you want to see it's like raising children. You always want your children to have a better experience than you. You grew up in, challenges and
Right.
trials. I feel being a member of a family business for over 54 years of my life, I've
Okay.
always felt that this was something that we want to help other people have a wonderful business, family business experience, and whatever that legacy transfer is going to be, help keep the family intact, which is
Yeah.
not easy to do.
So important. Oh my gosh. Well, I have a question for you about drivers of business value. So, what are the top drivers of business value that owners often overlook?
Yeah, this was very interesting to me. So if you looked at your balance sheet, most people would look at the assets of the company, cash, receivables, inventory, and you'd be like, oh, those are the tangible assets of the company. There's value there. However, best-in-class companies, their real hidden value is in what we call intangible capital, your human capital, your customer capital, your structural capital, and your social capital of your company. So when you
Okay.
look at the range of multiples, like 3 to 8, a small portion of the multiple is paid on the tangible assets, cash, receivables, inventory. The major upside on the multiple is the strength of the intangible assets. And as a value advisor and scaling up coach, my focus is helping you build those assets in your company to maximize your multiple.
That's interesting. Wow. Okay.
And most people don't know it.
Yeah, I'm learning just like our listeners right now. They're all making notes, I bet you, right now. I see them all frantically scrambling to take down all this valuable information. I have an interesting question. I'm going to pivot a little bit, but what does role does the leadership team play in building a solvable or succession-ready business?
Yeah. If you think about value,
Sellable. I said selfable. Oh my gosh, I can't speak this morning, Herb.
it's
What's a
early. It's
selfable?
early.
Yeah, what's
It's
selfable
early.
mean? We just made up a new word together.
Well, okay. We're going to patent that. We're going to get some copyright on that, what we have.
Totally. Totally. Totally.
Think about value, and I want you to think about it from the buyer's point of view.
Okay.
A buyer value is all about transferability. Can you transfer everything that you've had in your company over to me, minimizing my risk so that I'll receive that full value and be able to build on it? Here's why your leadership team is so important, Lisa. Think about it. If you are overly owner dependent, how transferable is that?
What does that mean, owner depend overly over dependent?
So we had one client in the beginning that self describe themselves as the best salesperson in the company.
The owner said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if now your name's on the door and you obviously know what you're doing, and that's why people like and buy from you because you're very good at it. But if I haven't been able to transfer that knowledge, build a sales department, hire the right sales leadership, put capable sales teams in place, and be able to work on other parts of the business and not have the and have the company grow in spite of me, if I can't do that, it's not transferable because your goal is not to sell the company and stay with the owner, the new owner, for the next 10 years. Most people have earnouts from 1 to 3 years, and the majority of them never stay longer than 1 year. And the buyers know it.
Why don't they stay longer than a year?
Because they're entrepreneurs, they're not used to working for people. And it got to a point of why they wanted to sell it. And if they didn't want to sell it to pursue whatever other reason, they would have kept owning it on their own. They're either burnt out, something's happened, a family issue, a life issue, burnout, but the buyers know it. So we work with part of the building value is building leadership teams separate in supportive of the owner so that whenever that time comes to exit, they're ready because they have a polished, experienced professional leadership team that's handling all the day-to-day. So
Leadership is so important.
yeah, and that value is transferability. By the way, we mentioned contracts, client contracts, recurring revenue. If I don't have contracts that are well documented, have clear transferability built in, we can transfer contracts. They are long term or longer term, 1 to 3 years in nature, and they're transferable, and I have recurring revenue. That's very transferable to a new buyer. If you don't have that, if you have a month-to-month business, it may be a great business. By the way, most owners make great incomes, but they can't get great multiples unless it's transferable. That's the difference.
Okay, interesting. So we're gonna slowly start wrapping up here. I have a question. So if you could give one piece of advice to business owners who want more freedom, more value, and a bigger legacy, what would that be? No pressure, no pressure. One piece.
Yeah, I think it's about start planning now. Don't look at exit planning as a future event. It's a current event. And how can you look at the three legs of the stool of a successful exit readiness plan? My personal plan, my personal financial plan, and my business plan that would maximize value, include all the stakeholders that I love and care about in my life, and would ultimately get the business to a state that you could do it anytime, anywhere. I've always said, Lisa, I want the business owner to always be able to write the last chapter of their business book, not let circumstances write it for them.
I love that. That's why I paused there. I want that in every aspect of my life.
We do. Yes, we do. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been a wonderful segment, and I hope you and your listeners get some great value from it.
I know I've gotten a lot of value from it, but before we go, why don't you tell everyone where to find you? Just bullet point your services for everyone, and we'll make it really clear in the show notes, but just let us all know where we can find you.
Yeah, thank you. Simply go to Aspire Growth Advisors with an S.com. You'll have an opportunity to take a business readiness assessment. How well is my business ready to scale? And you'll have an opportunity to take a leadership readiness assessment. How ready am I as a leader to scale the business? Those are complimentary. If anybody just wants to have a casual coach conversation around some of the topics today, feel free, book a time. I would love to talk to all the listeners that have that same concern as I did during my journey.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for being here.
It is my pleasure. Really appreciate it.
Do you want to give us a little teaser on, do you know what our next episode is going to be about?
I don't, not yet.
Okay. Well, that's good. It adds more mystery. I think everyone will show up for the value.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Herb. And to all of you listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We cannot wait to see you again next time. Until then, I'm Lisa Rubansky with The Advisor.
Thank you.